Okay. Well, everybody that was on the call Sunday, we will remember that we are in the Book of Job, and we end it with
2:10, maybe.
I think we were in the second chapter. We hadn't started.
I think 2:10.
2:10.
Yeah, I think Tammy might remember. Yeah, I think I have it highlighted. We stopped at 2:10.
Okay. So are you reading tonight, Tammy?
Sure. I'll volunteer before I get voluntold.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Job 2, verse 11. My title
for
Job's.
Start at verse 9. At verse 9.
Okay.
We read that, but read it again.
Okay. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong.
Okay, stop right there. We're going to go back a little bit, not much.
Sure.
But just a refresher, because we weren't, you know, last time we talked about this was Sunday. And Job is from, you know, Uz, which is some town in the Mesopotamia area, which is the Middle East. And this predates Abraham. And it's a reminder that there were righteous people that were still seeking and serving God prior to Abraham and the calling of the Israel people to serve God, or Jacob, you know, and his clan. There were people that served God prior to that. And remember that Adam knew God from the garden, and he had sons, and one of those sons' names was Seth, and Seth was known to be a servant of God, so he probably, most likely, raised his children in admonition of the Lord. So there's a whole line of people that were, you know, still acknowledging God, and God appeared back then to people differently. If you recall, they showed up in town and they're angels, and, you know, there's a lot of accounts in Genesis of where angels or the angel of the Lord absolutely just appears and is seen, like he did in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. If you remember that story in, you know, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here we have Job, who become the target of a very, very severe trial. But we learned last week how God knew Job. He knew that Job could set an example that would persevere through the ages and centuries. He would be a testimony. Now, the adversary thinks, oh, I'm going to get him to curse God and this, that, and the other. The only reason any human serves you. Now, remember, well, why is Satan so, you know, uptight about this whole subject? Anybody have a clue? You hear the attitude when the when Lord says, "What have you been doing? Oh, I've been running up and down the earth, or roaming up and down the earth. Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" Yeah, well, look, Job has a hedge around him, so make no wonder he serves you. What are you hearing in that attitude? We're going to be a lot more interactive this evening. What do we hear in Satan? What's being said in Satan's tone?
Resentment that he should have what happened to him,
or superiority, like he's
What exactly is it that Satan is resentful of? Is he resentful of God? Is he resentful of man?
Not having control, being worshipped. He's not worshipped. No one is worshipped.
I think control. Yeah.
Control.
He got kicked out.
He did.
I think he's resentful of man because he knows how much God loves man.
Yeah. Right.
Jealous.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Yeah, like Job is a goody two shoes, so he's going to get whatever he wants from you. He's your favorite, so why are you even bringing up Job? You've always, you know, you favor him. He does whatever you tell him. You know, he's like perfect in your sight, God. Mm-hmm. You know, you're perfect first child or whatever child is the favorite. That's what he's accusing God of favoring Job so much. He's an accuser.
And kind of zero in on the temperament your enemy. I want you to kind of zero in on what is he so mad about? He failed God. He was in heaven.
Okay.
We talked about Lucifer before. Mm-hmm. He was called the bright morning star. He was the choir director. He had every instrument in his voice.
So maybe he's jealous,
he was a great worship leader.
There you go.
Now, when people, and he had all of the gems, all the beautiful stones that we call, you know, our birthstone, he had all of the gems as a breastplate.
Well,
now, can you imagine what that looks like when all the angels congregate to praise and worship?
Sure.
It was
beautiful.
And the sound that came from his mouth was unmatched. Every instrument. Perfect unison and harmony.
Harmony. Wow.
So what happens with Lucifer? This is the one running up and down the earth pissed off. What happened with him? He turns around and decides that, you know, everybody sees him, and what do? They praise God. Wow, what a beautiful sound, what a beautiful angel. Oh, God, you're amazing. All the angels just praise God week after week in adoration of the beauty of this angel and the perfect pitches of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Satan decide? Why you got to be praising God? I'm the one singing.
Oh, my.
My goodness,
I'm the one with the voice. I'm the one that's so beautiful you can't take your eyes off of me. You guys need to be worshiping me, not God. It's me doing the singing. Now, you'll say, wow, really? Because Lucifer didn't make himself, right? God made you, Lucifer, what he is.
Yeah.
And now Lucifer wants credit for the gifts God gave him.
Ooh.
And we sing over and over and over. God can bless a person with an astounding, say, ministry, and then they want to take a bow.
Right.
Because there's something very toxic about praise. It seems to be a very powerful force. So Lucifer gets intoxicated with praise and adoration and wants to take over heaven. So we kind of know the story from there. So he gets kicked out of heaven. I want you to remember, this is all before man was even brought about. This happened before Adam even was thought about. So then the Lord brings about, let's make man. Yeah, that sounds kind of interesting to whomever he was talking, probably Jesus. Okay. Let's make man in our own image. And that really ticks off Lucifer, an angel. Because angels were made in the image of an angel. Man was made in the image of God. So he's got a bone to pick with mankind. Then he ends up getting kicked out of heaven, and then he comes to earth once man is here, and he deceives the woman, Eve, and man falls, and sin is deceived. But God makes a way for man to be forgiven.
All right.
He did not make a way for angels to be forgiven.
Mm.
Angels have that as a serious bone to pick. They feel like, well, how come man can mess up and God cuts away in the wilderness for them, but we mess up and it's SOL for eternity. Anybody have a clue why that might be? Why are the angels not given the same opportunity to repent as man is given?
Is it because of Jesus?
Because they're angels and they know better. Because they're still God still created the angels as well. So I don't know.
I think you're onto something.
I think that's because the
angels have lived already in heaven.
Man.
The angels have seen God.
Okay.
The angels have seen the mighty works of his hands. Adam was made out of the dust of the earth. So the Lord walked with him and he got to see, you know, whatever God revealed to him on earth. That doesn't hold a candle to what the angels have seen. So that's kind of like, let me put it this way, that's kind of like if you were with, let me see what would be a good example of that. If you were with the person who created the car, the automobile, and you saw all the work that went into it, and you saw how it's put together, and then you saw how this genius Ford was able to make an engine and finally get the car to run, and you were there through all of it. And then somebody else comes along, and all they see is the finished product, and they don't really know how a car works, they just know it works. And if the car breaks down, they can't fix it because they don't know how it works. And they just didn't have the same privilege that you had. So when you turn around and create a controversy and say that, you know, Ford didn't make the car, that's real offensive. Now, if this other person says, well, I don't know if Ford made the car, that maybe that's a little forgivable since they weren't there when it was made. But you really do know better.
Oh, I see. I get it now.
You know better. You were there.
Right.
You've seen the glory of God.
Right.
Adam had never seen the glory of God. Eve had never seen the glory of God. They just, you know, he came and met with them and walked with them in the garden in the evening. That's not the same as the glories of heaven.
Right.
All the various beings that God has made, that he orders around the stars, that he names them. That there's different places in the universe that, and these angels are aware of all this. So they're held to a higher standard. And when they decided to have a coup against heaven and they're thrown out, there is no coming back from that.
Mm. Right, okay.
But man is not being held to that standard because he knows so little. He's so fragile. He's so pathetic compared. And yet God decides he's going to make man in his own image. So what you hear with Satan as he's addressing the question about Job is the only reason they serve you. So what's he mad about? Because we don't serve him.
He's jealous. Right.
Mm-hmm. Very jealous.
He's jealous.
So he's got the same problem he had in heaven. He wants to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this man, Job, worships God, but he's saying the only reason he worships you is because you give him everything.
Mm.
Taking stuff from him, he won't worship you. Nobody really wants to worship you. This is being said by somebody who did take one-third of heaven with him when he was cast out. He was able to convince one-third of heaven to turn their back on God.
That's incredible in itself.
Yeah.
So now he's dealing with mere man, And most men, ain't that hard to get them to sin, because now they have a sin nature. They lean towards me, dude, not you.
Right.
And the only reason this one is set apart is because you've set him apart by protecting him from everything. Now we can kind of engage in, so what's really going on here? God is showing that there are people who willingly serve God no matter what. And he's using this story, this event, as an example of that. And here Satan is getting tricked into pitting himself against Job, which is strengthening this story, which we're reading 5,000 years later.
Right.
And it becomes a testimony to us of what faithfulness can look like.
Amen.
Okay, so Tammy just read about the wife, and she's saying, why are you holding on to your integrity? Seriously? Curse God and die. So what does it tell us about the wife? She doesn't have what Job had.
No.
She is not steadfast like Job. But notice, you don't hear that she's covered with sores either, do you?
Mm-mm.
No, her body isn't stricken. Sure, she loses everything, but not like Job. She couldn't withstand that type of trial. She's ready to curse God now.
Right, right.
Hmm. What did we talk about? That God doesn't put more on you than you can bear.
Right.
So she doesn't, her body doesn't get stricken with sores and pain and suffering. So he says, you speak as one that is a fool, he says to her. What does that tell you about Job? When he says to his wife, you speak foolish, what do you get from him? Richard says,
he's
a man who knows God. Do you ever meet somebody that is so unchangeable in their faith? That
yes.
There's nothing you can say that's going to cause it to waver.
Yes.
If someone tries to come up against God for some people, you're going to get, you know, this isn't even a conversation. You're an idiot. You're just an idiot. I can't even converse with an idiot. Because that's how strong that person's faith is, that, you know, you can't even challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tammy, let's go down to 11, where Job's three friends.
Okay. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Their names were Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shunite, and Zophar the Naamanite. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words.
Excuse me, Tammy, what Bible are you reading from?
The NLT.
Oh, let me pull it up on my... Okay, sorry for the interruption.
Okay, so Job's friends, and they're all three men from different tribes at that time. What, first of all, that should tell you something about Job. What does it tell you about Job?
Pretty powerful man.
He was respected.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful, respected. Yeah. What else? Let's get down to the basics. All the way down to the basics. I'm going to say he was really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
These men came from afar. They all seem to have all talked about this together and decided, let's go down and see about Job.
Right.
And I've heard this preached before. And people try to insist that these guys are not friends. They just came to see him suffering, probably glad to see him falling. wanted to see how bad things were for him. I am going to argue that down.
Yes.
You don't travel that far.
Right.
Unless you're coming to see a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
when
agree.
They saw Job's condition from as far
distance.
As they were back,
right?
They couldn't even recognize him. That's how shriveled and how unrecognizable the man they knew, respected, and loved was. And then on top of that, these friends grieved and mourned and wept in the air as they even approached him.
Yes, yes.
When you care about somebody and they are hurting, you should be hurting.
Hurt too, yes.
This is not just a display of, let's throw dust in the air as a token of our sorrow.
Right.
No.
Right.
And the very next scene points out that they sat with him.
Yes,
for 7 days.
Yep, tarried for 7 days.
7 days.
And nobody
did
said
not
anything.
Say anything. What does that tell you?
Oh, loyalty, compassion,
loyalty.
Humility, love, true friendship.
Wisdom. These ain't the sharpest knives in the drawer, as we're going to learn as we continue through this study. But what I'm getting at is they have sense enough that when somebody is in this kind of agony, there's no words for that. Christians, we don't always have to have something to say.
Right. Yeah.
See somebody, sometimes we'll see a person, a fellow Christian or not, a person in agony, and the first thing we want to do is tell them how they got there. How is that helping?
Right.
Or that it's going to be all right.
Exactly. We either want to offer them some kind of word that God did not tell you.
Right.
Or we want some sort of way, you know, well, what happened? You got in this terrible, the person's all laid up in the hospital, the guy, tubes coming out of everywhere, broken bones, this, that, and the other. Well, what were you doing, honey? You must have been texting or something.
That drives me crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why
God
are you doing
me?
Shut your mouth. Does it matter how this person got to this point?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. This is the point they are. This is the point on the road that you are meeting them.
Right.
Use a little wisdom. Sometimes wisdom is just sit with them.
Yeah.
Just sit. Finally, 7 days pass. The agony is beyond words. Now all of them are just sitting in the dust. Tammy, start reading 3. Job finally opens his mouth.
At last Job spoke, and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived. Let that day be turned into darkness. Let it be lost, even to God on high, and let no light shine on it. Let the darkness and utter gloom claim the day for its own. Let a black cloud overshadow it, and let the darkness terrify it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear among the months. Let that night be childless. Let it have no joy. Let those who are experts at cursing, whose cursing could rouse Leviathan, curse that day. Let
Stop.
Its morning stars.
Stop for a second. So he goes on a long dissertation talking about how terrible is the day that he was even born. He'll say in verse 12, why did the knees receive me? In other words, why did I ever sit on my mom's lap?
Yeah.
Or why did her breasts or nurse me? And he goes on and on saying, it would be better that I have never, ever been born. Tammy, skip all the way down to verse 25.
Okay. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes.
Okay. So this is what he's declaring. But in none of this is he particularly, what do you get from what he is saying? What do you get? Where is he? Is he angry with God?
No, with himself.
No.
Seems like he's really beating himself up.
I want you to go there because I want you to put on Job's sandals for a minute.
Pitying?
Do you think he's having a pity party? What do you think?
No.
Well,
it's hard
really
to say because it's justifiable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed to have that. I'm sorry.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. I think that he's such as us as we go on our days and our lives doing great things and honoring God and being as humble as we can, and he's kind. That's why his friends traveled. So he expect this type of wrath to come to him.
Why, though? Why do you think? He's so distraught.
Yes, he is.
Because that happens, right? Where you think you're doing everything great and ping! What?
Well,
yes.
I think because a lot of the turmoil that he has gone through, but not only him, but he's lost his children. His
right.
wife told him to try to die. His
right.
body is still before him. He's sitting in ashes. He's in great pain. And when
yes.
pain hits our body, we get weak in the mind.
Amen.
At this
that's
point,
good.
he's simply saying, all that I'm going through is better than I did wasn't even born.
Yeah.
So I think that it was what he's going through is what he's talking about. He's definitely not cursing God. He's just talking
no.
about the fact of going through so much pain and anguish and suffering. That
yeah.
it would be better for me not to be born.
So what do you think is God's response to what Job is saying? How do you think God feels if you're saying to him, it would be better that the day I was born be wiped off of a doggone calendar? It would be better that I wasn't born at all, that everything that happened to me was better, that I never, ever even saw the light of day. What do you think God feels like when you're saying that?
Well, he wouldn't feel like us. He was
love.
What do you think?
Yeah, I automatically think love too. Whoever said that, and compassion towards
he
him.
He hears him. He hears him.
Yes,
and he loves him,
and he knows what he's going through. So
that's what I think that we should not forget, no matter how bad the trial may be. Remember that God isn't mad at you because this is really hard.
Yeah.
He is not mad at you because you get to a point of just, and Richard has a really good point, that you get into enough pain you can't even think straight.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with enough calamity you can't even think straight.
Yeah.
Some people hit calamity and they lose it so far they never come back. They're never quite right in the head after a terrible, terrible event. We can see here that God is sustaining Job, but he's at the edge of the rope. And he is still not cursing God. He's just saying, if this is how it was going to end, I wish it had never begun. He says in verse 25, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. What I hear in that is that he had recognized all of the goodness of God all of his life. And it sounds to me like when he said in verse 10, shall we indeed only accept good from God?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we not accept adversity? So Job has felt, you know, privileged his whole life. He never took what God had done for him for granted.
Yeah.
He wasn't taking it for granted. He's figuring, well, this can't go on forever. I've just been blessed, blessed, blessed. So, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe I got something coming my way, but I never thought it would be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go with Eliphaz, Tammy. What does Eliphaz, the Temanite, have to say?
Okay. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, replied to Job, "Will you be patient and let me say a word? For who could keep from speaking out? In the past, you have encouraged many people, and you have
Stop
strengthened
right
those who..."
Do you hear what's happening right there?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Eliphaz is recognizing, what is he saying about Job? The very thing that we put together, why they even came.
Mm-hmm.
You're a person who has taught many people. You've been like a mentor to us.
Yes.
You have strengthened us when we were weak. So, please, let me say something. Look at the humble approach that this person has.
Yeah.
Okay, boy.
In the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were falling and encourage those with shaky knees. But now, when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? Stop and think.
Stop for 1 second. This is something that I think is worthy of taking note of. And it's something that I've seen people do. You seem to forget sometimes that the pastors or the leaders or the people that have held you up a million times are still people too.
Amen. Yes.
When you see a pastor fall to adultery, or you see a pastor fall, he was skimming or something with the money or whatever
right.
was going on, we come down so hard.
Yeah.
Well, you preach this, and you've encouraged so many people. You've strengthened us when we had weak knees. But now that it's happening to you, look at you. Where's your faith? I think that's a little bit hard.
I agree.
Now that it's your turn to go through calamity, can't you rely on all those words that you gave everybody else? And I think that we have those expectations, just calling them into question. Don't forget that the leaders are people. And I'm going to tell you something else. Half of what's coming out of a teacher's mouth, at least, is coming from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that they're so wise or they're so strong.
Amen.
That's just the Holy Spirit speaking. That doesn't mean that they're able to pull off everything that the Holy Spirit is urging all of us to do. Bear in mind, because we try to hold them to a different standard, because they seem blessed or because they seem gifted in this area, as he was an instructor, because he lifted people up, because his prayers were heard. Oh, well, then when something happens to you, we should be able to just watch how you gracefully guide through it. Oh, but the accusations keep coming. Keep reading, Tammy.
Verse 7, stop and think. Do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed? My experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same.
Mm-hmm.
A breath from God destroys them. They vanish in a blast of his anger. The lion roars and the wildcat snarls, but the teeth of the strong lions will be broken. The fierce lion will starve for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness will be scattered. This truth was given to me in secret, as though whispered in my ear. Mm-hmm. It came to me in a disturbing vision at night, when people are in a deep sleep. Fear gripped me, and my bones trembled. A spirit swept past my face, and my hair stood on end. The spirit stopped, but I couldn't see its shape. There was a form before my eyes. In the silence, I heard a voice say, "Can a mortal be innocent before God? Can anyone be pure before the Creator?" If God does not trust his own angels and has charged his messengers with foolishness, how much less will he trust people made of clay? They are made of dust, crushed as easily as a moth. They are alive in the morning, but dead by the evening, gone forever without a trace. Their tent cords are pulled, and the tent collapses, and they die in ignorance.
Wow. I want to say here, Eliphaz is claiming that all this yap that he got about, well, have you ever seen? What did he say? Whispered to him, have you ever seen the innocent treated this way? Have you? Have you ever seen someone who could stand innocent before God? And then he goes on to tell you that this was whispered in his ear in the dead of night, in his sleep. A form came and spoke this to him. What do you think Eliphaz had been visited by?
A bottle of whiskey. well, I think it was Jesus. That might have been the devil.
He's kind of
was Satan.
Why don't you take a look at this?
Because he's being mean.
The other parent is not playing with us.
No, it's he's not over time. It's my regular ship. What is it that you want to know? Come on, man. Why you don't like talking to me, man?
You got to mute. Mute, Terrell.
Well, I'm fair, okay? Here's my situation. Most of you young brothers don't have any structure in your life. A little structure is not going to hurt you.
Don't preach it.
Okay, well, just believe in this.
Terrell.
I run it with love, Terrell. Man. I care about every one of you. I want to see better for every one of you.
Terrell.
Okay, there is a little male up here. I'm just not sure when they're going to pass it out.
Gonna preach.
You're welcome. Don't be afraid to talk to me, man, about anything.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Oh, we need to hear that.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to go.
Carol. You.
I'm sorry. I pushed the button by mistake. I'm here.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
We love you even more now.
I actually took my headset. Oh, God, what all did you guys hear?
Everything.
All of it. Everything.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, well.
It is what it is. We love you.
I hope I was doing the right thing.
You were. You were. We're proud of you, brother.
All right. Well, I actually had taken my headset off, and I guess I hit the mute button by mistake, so I apologize.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Back to where we were. The adversary is playing all of his cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Job, who God and Satan know what's going on with Job.
Right.
But Job doesn't know what's going on with Job. The friends have sat 7 days in anguish looking at the physical part of what's happening with Job, but they don't know what's happening either. So somebody visits this Eliphaz in the night, whispers in his ear, "Have you ever seen innocent people punished like this?"
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what is the devil doing but planting seeds?
Right. Trying to get him to turn on God.
He knows the character of Job.
But now he's planting doubt that maybe I didn't know the character of Job. Because he must have done something. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Mm. Who is saying this? Some figure in the night that can't even identify himself. What I'm getting at here is just because somebody says they had a dream, just because somebody says, you know, I had this something whispered to me in the night, does not mean it's God talking to him.
Amen.
Amen.
God would not be accusing Job of wrongdoing.
Right.
So it isn't God that's talking to him. But he's planting seeds in Eliphaz's head that, well, maybe Job got this coming because have you ever seen, can a mortal be more righteous than God? And God has stricken this man.
Mm-hmm.
Can a man be more pure than his maker?
Mm-hmm.
So if he's going to charge angels, back to that Lucifer again with his own personal problems. If he charges his angels with error, how much more are those that dwell in the houses of clay? In other words, if he's that hard on us, the angels, listen to him now. If he's that hard on us, the angels, how much harder would he be on man, whose foundation is dust? Sounds like the devil to me.
True.
It sounds like the devil has the same bone to pick we started this lesson out with.
Yeah.
Jealous. Who are crushed before a moth. So he's just, you know, really talking kind of nasty. Very unkind. They are broken in places from morning till evening. In pieces. They perish forever with no one caring. Wow, listen to what all he has planted in Eliphaz has said. That God doesn't even care about us. That we're nothing but dust and dirt to him. That we have no standing with God. He's lying because the Lord himself says that he made God in his image to be his son. Recognize when somebody is telling you something has come from God or from some dream they had, and I'm just telling you, this is what's whispered in my ear.
Yeah.
How do we know? As I read this, it just jumped out at me that that's the devil talking if ever I heard him.
Mm-hmm. True.
How do I know?
Yeah.
Because of how it lines up with God's character.
Right, right. Amen.
How it lines up with his character. What did he say in Matthew? Are you not more precious than the birds of the air?
Yes.
Than the lilies of the field? That's what he said about us. He didn't say that we were like a moth. That we're no more than like a moth piece of dust.
Right.
That's not what God says about us.
Right.
When you are vulnerable, when you are going through a trial, when the heat is turned up, we tend to really hear what's being said to us. Why? Because we're grasping for some sort of hope if we're losing it or have lost it.
Yeah.
So when a friend comes along you and wants to start prophesying over you, be careful.
Woof. Amen to
be
that.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Because you're in a weakened state.
Oof.
You're suffering, and you're trying to hold on as best as you can.
Oof.
And here this person, who had been visited by an angel of darkness, is now spewing out this message they got.
Right.
Job did not need to hear that. But God is allowing him to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
All it is Satan giving Job his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How many times when we're in a trial do you have somebody come alongside you? You got your wife saying, curse God and die. Then you got this guy, your friend, who has sat with you for 7 days. And now he's finally speaking, and all he's doing is repeating some garbage from the dark side.
Right.
Keep going, Tammy.
Okay. chapter 5, cry for help. But will anyone answer you? It's Eliphaz's response continues. Cry for help, but will anyone answer you? Which of the angels will help you? Surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. I have seen that fools may be successful for the moment, but then comes sudden disaster. Their children are abandoned far from help. They are crushed in court with no one to defend them. The hungry devour their harvest, even when it is guarded by brambles. The thirsty pant after their wealth. But evil does not spring from the soil, and trouble does not sprout from the earth. People are born for trouble.
He's going on and on and on and on now.
Yeah.
And he just keeps giving example after example. Mm-hmm. Of how even if you were doing well, you're going to end up doing terrible because at the end of the day, you're wicked and you're foolish.
Mm-hmm.
You must be, because God would not do this if you weren't. Somebody tell me what we would say to Eliphaz.
Get thee behind me, Satan. No, look, be quiet and go home. You've been with me long enough, young man. Goodbye. Or would you have
thank
to
you
say
so
anything
much
at all? Would you say, Miss?
No, I don't know.
Could you be quiet as kept? And even if you look him in his eyes, and you know that it's he comes from darkness, so the words he speaks doesn't affect you. So you sit, you just to sit there in silence and give someone that look. To leave, to go
or you
away.
Shut them out. Yeah.
To hush, say no more. So
I think that at this point, I think at this point, Job is so broken and in so
you
much
can't hear
pain
him.
And in such need for a word of encouragement. I think he's hanging on every word coming out of Eliphaz's mouth. And I think he's examining himself. He's wondering, well, is this true? This is some, you know, angel came to him in the night and told him all this mess.
Mm-hmm.
But is this true? I think Job is probably examining himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think Eliphaz, where do you think Eliphaz is coming from?
What
do you mean? What's the lesson from Eliphaz?
Oh.
One lesson.
More from good things don't happen to people that are right with God. This would not happen if you, it would happen to, bad things don't happen to people who follow
like
him,
you.
Follow the Lord. Or.
But what are we looking at? We know how this story is. So what are we learning from Eliphaz? Maybe we're learning that sometimes, no matter how something looks, understand that you don't understand. Understand that you don't understand. Don't think because you're a child of God, you got the answer to everything. You don't know what God is doing with Job. You don't understand why this is happening. Sometimes, maybe, if you don't know, just don't know. Don't try to answer things that you don't know what you're talking about. And what is Eliphaz doing? He's speaking truth from his experience as far as he knows. As far as I know, people that do right, God blesses, right? We know that, right?
Right.
And people that are wicked, God destroys. We know that, right? Well, that's all Eliphaz knows. He doesn't know nothing about Satan coming up to the heavens. He doesn't know anything about God talking to him about Job. So there's so much of this that he does not understand, he really shouldn't be talking.
Yeah.
Christian, when you encounter somebody going through something and you say, well, if they knew God, it must be because they keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It must be because they're not having quiet. It must be because they don't really get a church faith. It must be this. It must be that. That's not for you to try to figure out. And when we look at Eliphaz, by going down that road, you end up in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of listening Job up. He ends up accusing Job. We can end up doing the same thing because we don't understand somebody else's trial.
Right.
You can see somebody in a trial. You can see all of that God has blessed them with. And the first thing we want to say is, God sees everything. They must have been doing something.
That's right, though.
God wouldn't do that. They were doing good. So if God took it away, they must have done did something.
That's right.
You don't know what you're talking about. And what you're doing, your words can cause more harm than good.
Yes.
Let me say something else, and not just the words you're saying to that person, the words you're saying behind that person's back.
Yes.
You're planting seeds. That only good comes from the hands of God. So if something bad's happening in somebody's life, they brought it on themselves. You do not know that to be true.
Right.
And this story right here points it out. You do not know that to be true. So when you see somebody going through a very serious trial and you see it looks like all their blessings have slipped away and calamity is at their door, your response should be no response other than blessed be the name of the Lord and pray for that
Amen.
Person. How about just ask the Lord, please, he's suffering. He's covered with boils. He's fighting for his life. I don't know what he did, Lord, and maybe he didn't do any, I don't know, but I do know that he needs a touch from you. I do know that he needs grace. That's what we ought to be praying instead of trying to figure out what they did to deserve it. Because if you are sitting in Job's shoes, if you suddenly caught COVID, if you're laying up in a hospital for 3 months, lost your job, lost your business, lost everything because you're so incapacitated, everything God has given you has slipped through your fingers, do you need somebody sitting up there judging it?
No.
Instead of praying for you, they're sitting there trying to figure out, what did she do? She must have done something. You know what I think? I think she's been having an affair.
Oh, my God.
But what else can you see? She must have done something God's not pleased with. While you're sitting there trying to worry about what their sins are, you ought to be worried about praying for them. Because there but for God go you.
Amen.
Don't know what God is doing in somebody's life. Don't spend too much time speculating on it because you can hurt people very, very badly. Oh, I'm sorry, and not just the people. We will learn by the end of this story, they were bringing judgment on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of this story, uh-oh, God is not happy with Eliphaz or any of them. And Job ends up having to intercede on their behalf. God's not playing with this. Again, this brings me back to where we were a week ago. Be careful how you deal with God's people.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Remember the fight with the Benjaminites? Remember that when they wanted to wipe out that whole tribe? Remember how they kept coming back to God? God, do you want us to fight again?
Yeah.
And the message in that is be careful how you deal with God's people. Because no matter what your misgivings and your, you know, lack of information, if you cause God's people harm, God's not happy. He doesn't need your hand to hurt his children. He's not going to be happy with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause you to bring judgment down on yourself. We will have to continue this because it is now 7 o'clock. Lord, have mercy in the meaning of his word. We did not get very far. Any questions?
I have a question. Why does it appear as if Lucifer is this horrible, like he's just ugly, like this look? Every image you see of Lucifer is he looks dreadful, as his skin is falling, or the eyes, but he's this beautiful angel.
But because when you get out of the presence,
he lost his glory.
Once you are out of the presence of God, you are the opposite of what he intended you to be.
Wow.
Ooh, that's good right here. That's a sermon right there. Yes, it's
good. That's
good
for us.
That's good. That's good.
Remember.
Ooh, wow. For real. You ugly when you're not with Daddy.
So it's spiritually, it's in the spirit as well, though, correct? Because when it comes to
everything
that
he intended to be, he becomes the opposite.
Right.
We will never forget that.
Okay. Any more questions?
We love you.
Love you guys.
Sorry, that's not a question.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
You guys have a good week. We'll take this up on Sunday. I'm going to close in prayer, but we're going to wrap this up hopefully Sunday. I know it's a lot of chapters, but we're not going through that. I'm going to capitalize all the rest of it. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your warning. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Help us to handle things wisely, situations wisely, our own trials wisely, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to be wise in how we counsel people that are in a dark place, a wilderness, a valley, a fire. Help us, Lord, to see them as you see them and walk carefully.
Yes.
Bridle our tongue. In Jesus' name. Carry us through this. And protection around our families, around, protect us from COVID, which is running rampant. You know what was unleashed in our atmosphere? I ask you to set up a standard against it.
Amen.
Keep us all safe and with our minds stayed on you. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Merry Christmas.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Bless everybody.
Everyone.
Blessings.
Blessings to you too. God bless.
Bye.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
talk to you tomorrow.
Your meeting. All righty.
Okay. All right. Good night, Richard.
Good night, Tammy. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too. Was Jessica on the line?
She was, then she hung up, then she called back in. Then I think I hung up on her. I don't know.
Oh,
I tried
okay.
to answer
All right.
it, and then she vanished. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.